Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's a great honor to be here. It's a great honor to serve you and call on your name. Thank you, God, for the precious Holy Ghost. Thank you, precious Holy Ghost. Thank you, precious Holy Ghost anointing. In Jesus' name, God, we want you, we need you, we desire you, God. In Jesus' name, the demons and foul, hindering spirits are cursed and destroyed and removed by the blood of Jesus. And the liberties and the laws of God will guide us and lead us to perfect liberty in Jesus' name. And we will walk in it, God, in the name of Jesus. Shateka, Tare, Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the next few minutes together. As Christians that are looking to serve you better, God. In the name of Jesus, looking to submit to you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, help. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah. Now, I really appreciate y'all letting me come back after jumping and shouting like I did last night. It was fun to me. I like Jesus. I enjoy telling the truth. The truth makes people free. The truth allows the miracles of the Holy Ghost to flow. The truth is Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42. I wish I could express to you how I feel inside, the humility I do feel. About having such an opportunity to be with you all, the great people I see around here. Like I said last night, you people are stable. But I do know that God takes up the slack in people. To me, I feel like there are many people who have greater anointings than I do do things. And I should sit down and submit to it. That's the way I feel. And when the Holy Ghost starts moving, it excites me. And that's how come I'm so excited. Because He's moving. I've had great opportunity in the last few years to be discouraged and quit. To lay down the calling. But there's not a devil, there's not a reason, there's not a woman, there's not an amount of money available that's worth ratting on God. I went to Mexico. I grew up in a pastor's home. I knew a lot about ministry. I knew a lot of the tactics of the devil and people. But I was real green about what I was to do for God and lots of the walk with God and all this. But the devil is real good at tripping up people. But God is better at restoring them. God is better at keeping us walking. There's a lot of times that I personally, in the walk I've been in with Jesus, lots of times I hadn't wanted to even
walk out of my bedroom to even see my family. I didn't even want to say the name of Jesus. I didn't feel like it. I wouldn't say there's been hundreds of times, but there's definitely been a few dozen times that's happened. Sometimes it goes for several days, even breaks over into a couple of weeks. That don't feel good. But you gotta get it, America. We're not into an emotional high. We're into a solid Holy Ghost run. And it's stable. And we gotta trust Him regardless of how we feel or what our mind is telling us. We gotta let Him bring us in. We gotta let Him draw us in. We gotta let Him heal us. Some of the trouble I've found is there's not very many people that want to help you when you're not shouting and jumping. There's no doubt in my mind that if God continues to raise the dead at the rate He's doing it in Mexico with us, and all these miracles continue and all these people get saved, there's no limit to what's going to happen with us. I am convinced of that. You know that? But what's going to happen to all the hype and all of the press and publicity that a person gets because God's mercy has been extended to a people, and you get the press and the publicity for it? What happens when something goes wrong in their opinion? They drop you like a hot potato. I've been dropped a few times. I know what I'm talking about. But I want to read something and share something with you tonight. Hopefully it'll be interesting. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 17. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, idols, idolaters, idolatry. There's more to idolatry than bowing down to an image sculpted by somebody's hand. There is idolatry in religion. There is idolatry in following men. There is idolatry in our houses. We're not willing to give them up. We're more willing to get more things and heap it to us. There is idolatry in acting and living a certain way. Are y'all listening to me? People say, you are gods. Verse 18. I believe this is from God, and I'll ask you to receive this. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind? Comma. My servant, that's who. We get so engrossed in a certain particular way of religion or a particular way of living, and God, I'm telling you, saints, open your eyes. The Holy Ghost is ready to move. He wants us with our eyes open. He wants us with our ears open. And we're busy doing things that are good, but God's ready to open our ears and our eyes to something better, and we won't listen. We've got to. Our survival depends on it. And I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about every level of Christendom. I'm talking about every level, every baby, every woman, every man, every leader, every elder. I'm telling you, we got to open our eyes and ears to what the Holy Ghost is saying. And he's saying, get rid of the idolatry. I can go into a village, an Indian village, that's never heard the gospel. And there'll be a sick person. For instance, I got something written down here. Let me find it. Hang on just a minute. Y'all don't go anywhere. No, that's not the one I want. Hold on a minute. Oh, there it is. Found it. The whole list of them, I had to find the right one. You go in this village, there's no gospel there. They don't know what the gospel is. They just know that this American has come here. He lives differently than the Mexicans do. That the Indians observe like that. They see the Mexicans, they live differently than the Indians do, and I live differently than both of them do. And they wondered, who is this guy? What's he doing here? And they begin to hear about these miracles. How that a man can walk into a village and touch people and blinded eyes open. Tumors fall off of people. Growth, different kinds of growths and large warts and what's those things? Garters go, dissolve and go away. That there's people that have had whole... There's this one lady had a sore in her, right in her bottom part of her ankle. It was huge. The whole bone was showing. She had had it for years. We heard about it, and I didn't have a particular, thus saith the Lord, go lay hands on this lady. I've already been commissioned to do that already in my Bible. I don't particularly have to hear, is it God? It's God to heal the sick. The only reason you want God to supernaturally give it to you is because you're not sure it'll work if you do it that way. It'll work. It works. It works. You touch that lady and that sore is ugly. It stinks. Flesh is rotten and falling off. And you touch that thing. All you did was touch it. There has been no medicine applied. There's only been a hand touch that thing, which has got lots of germs on it. My hand does. But it also has the Holy Ghost on it. And it don't matter how many germs is on my hand, it matters how much Holy Ghost is on my hand. Did you hear what I said? And when you touch that foot, and that sore, and it stinks, and I don't like it, it's lots of pus. Jesus' name. But the next time, which was the next day, we was having a little campaign, you go back, and the lady on the stretcher ain't there. So you ask the people, what'd you do with the lady on the stretcher? Oh, she's over here sitting down. Well, I want to see her. So they called her and she walked up there. She was healed. So when you have this kind of Holy Ghost, it kind of gets around through the woods. The Indians call it the wind carries it. That's what they say. El viento lo lleva para allá para acá. The wind takes it over there and over there. And this one family heard about this American with amazing powers. They had nothing. They don't say that God, Jesus, they don't say it right. They don't preach the right gospel. That's my job, to preach the gospel. But he heard about it. Sent for me. And I go over there. I walk into his hut, which I'm telling you, their huts can fit on half of this platform. It's their whole house. And I go walking in there, and there's a fire flickering here in the corner. There's a couple of Indian women in here, a couple of kids.
And there's a body, you can't tell yet because it's covered completely up, laying on the floor. And I sit there, I don't say much. They're all talking in Indian. And I'm just being quiet, sitting there with my hands folded back here, just thinking and looking and watching. And I notice around the floor of the house, there's these little bitty medicine bottles. Have y'all ever seen them, how they prescribe medicine in these little bottles? And there's pills and liquids and capsules, and they ring the entire bottom of that house. They have been trying to get this little boy healed for years. And the only reason I was there is because they run out of money. And they couldn't pay the spiritist healer anything. They didn't have any more chickens to give. They couldn't pay the witch doctor anymore. They didn't have any more turkeys to kill or black chickens to sacrifice. So that's the reason I was there, because they heard about a person and some power that's amazing. The only reason I was there was because of that testimony. Oh, there's an American with amazing power. It wasn't because God led me. He did it through supernatural ways, but He didn't specifically, Brother Jerry, tell me to go lay hands on this little boy. He did that in Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. If I have to sit at the house and wait on specific directions from God to go to a specific village, I would never go anywhere. Somehow I'm missing where He wants me to go so supernaturally. I make these plans, I hear about people that are sick, and I go to them because I'm supposed to. Not because you like it or don't like it or believe the way I do or don't. Because I think that's what my Bible says. If you like me or don't like me, it's not going to change the way I'm going to do that ministry. I'm going to go because I think that's what the Holy Ghost wants me to do. I'm trying to have eyes to see what the Spirit's doing. I'm trying to have ears to listen when it is time for change. And there's that form there, and it hadn't moved, twitched. I hadn't even seen it breathe since I've been there. And the daddy comes over to me real quietly. My eyes have adjusted, and I can see real clearly what's going on now. The boy's not dead. I thought he was when I first walked in there. But I said, it's amazing how much if you read the Bible and you live, breathe, and eat the Bible, the things that come out of your mouth are the Bible. I picked that little cover up and raised his head back, and he was real pale. His face was real drawn because he was starving. He hadn't had anything to eat substantial for a long time. And watch this. How long has he been in this condition? Y'all ever read that in the Bible before? And you know what the man said that ain't never read the Bible? Since his birth. And all of a sudden, I said, hey, I know what Bible and what verse we in now. I didn't have a supernatural word from God, but now I'm living the New Testament again. Simply because I want to have ears to hear. I want to hear the crying nations that are going to hell. I might be too radical and too wild, but I'm hearing them. I'm trying to do what's right and go to them. It may not be what's orthodox for you, but they're getting delivered. I'm trying to see the need around me. Did you know I can change it when I get there? Do you know that? Because of the Holy Ghost I've got in me and in my hand. When I get there, it ain't going to be the same when I leave. Amen. I like that. I really like that. Now, it may not be like we wanted it to be when I leave, but at least it'll be different. Ain't got a way of putting up with some boredom of the same thing. You bend down over that kid, and that daddy says, "What's this now? What's this?" Sometimes he'll get all right, and we'll be so happy. He'll be okay, and we feed him, and he starts getting better, and he'll stand up, and something throws him in the fire. Sounds familiar. Or sometimes we think, okay, he's all right, and we'll take him down to bathe, and something will throw him in the water. Sounds like I've heard this before. I've read this in my Bible. And I'm sitting there so honored to have listened to God to go and do it and not try to be some high-fold super spiritual person that I'm not. But what I am is submitted to the Holy Ghost. And I might be a human and I might make a mistake occasionally. I will, you know. I don't confess that on me, but it just comes on me. And you go over there beside this kid. It's like he's dead, but he's not. There's no sign but a slight breathing in his chest. He's warm and everything, and I can feel a slow heartbeat and all that. And I'm checking him out. I feel the breath under his nostrils in my face. I'm down all over him and checking him out. Lay your hands on him in the name of Jesus. I'm not arguing with Daddy and telling him to throw his pills out. Y'all call it cleansing the house. I call it religion because you're too scared to try to get Jesus to touch them and heal them and show them they don't need that. Well, I believe. I apologize if it hurts your feelings. But pictures and even Bibles are not going to stop the power of God. Do you understand me? Now, in your opinion, a picture might can stop the hand of God. Or some little prescription bottle sitting there, God might go, "Argh!" But the God that I know don't pay any attention to those bottles. He don't pay any attention to those pictures. He don't pay any attention to that fetish. He pays attention to my voice. If my heart is on Jesus, and he says, "Put your hands on him, because I want to heal him." Soon as my hands touch that kid, Father God will heal him. I don't have to hypo it up, guys. It's either there, or you lied. Lots of people get mad at me because I won't sit and pray in tongues over them for 10 minutes. Stroke their head a little bit. Tell them it's going to be all right, honey. You don't need my touch. You need the touch of Jesus. And if we've sought Him in fasting and prayer and out of a committed, pure, true heart, the moment you complete the Word of God and touch somebody, His power will flow. There's lots of variations in you. You know I know that. But there's times Father God wants to blow all theology and do it His way. And this is one of them. Because this kid, I prayed for him, he ain't moved. I covered him back up. The daddy said, "So what we're going to do now?" I said, sir, if God don't touch him, ain't a thing we can do. He said, okay, I made some tamales. You like to eat some? Sure, get them out. We sit down, we have us a couple of tamales. Hot tamales. We call them surprise packages. Because you never know what's going to be inside that thing. You take a bite, you might have a chicken beak in your mouth. You might have a chicken foot in your mouth. You might have pig brains in your mouth. You might have snake in your mouth. You could have coyote in your mouth. You could have possum in your mouth. That's why we call them surprise packages. Because every time you eat one, it's a total surprise to you. And it's always a miracle when I get them down. Because I'm not a person that likes surprises. I like things organized and done in a certain way. And I don't like surprise packages then. I got through eating those surprise packages. Drinking this stuff we call black stuff. Y'all call it coffee. All they grind their own, grow their own. All them grains are in my teeth. Done had a whole bunch of surprise packages. Now I'm washing it down with the second most deadly thing I don't like in the whole world is coffee. Zoop! Well, it don't make any difference what my flesh bellows and cries and belly aches and murmurs and complains. It matters that the mighty Holy Ghost is there and my eyes are open to His footsteps and my ear is open to His voice. And that idolatry has been laid down to commitment to the cross of Calvary. Because you go walking out the house, you salute everybody, ain't nothing in that room changed except the tamales are gone and the black stuff is gone. The boy's the same. The medicine's the same. The daddy's sitting there. He said, I heard a lot about you. He said, it's true. He said, could you ever come back to my house? I said, yes, sir. Got my date book out. Looked on that thing. I said, what about this day right here? He said, would you mind coming telling me about your God? I said, I'll do it. The only thing that had changed in our meeting, his boy was still sick. Medicine was still there, but I sat down to his table and trusted him and had a covenant meal with him. That's the way the Indians view it. He knows I don't eat the kind of food he eats. He knows I live in a house bigger and better than his. He knows my truck could buy every house in that village. But he saw me sit at his humble table with a smile on my face. He has no idea that everything he fed me, I don't like it. You know why? You're lying. I'm not lying. I'm obeying the Holy Ghost. It is good food. That coffee is good. It just ain't good to my old selfish self. So I excused myself and the other guy with me. We excused ourselves, bowed out that Indian hut, walked down, fired up my great big old four-wheel drive truck. Listen, soon as the ignition cranked over on my truck, wow! That kid sprung out of that bed, went into a fit, fell in the fire, they drug him out the fire, then he was knocked out again, and a big black worm crawled out his ear. And he sat up totally healed by the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to tell you to listen to the Holy Ghost. There's no kind of hype. There's no kind of religion. You can't confess nothing away. It takes obedience to confession to make it work. It takes commitment to the Lord to make it work. It don't make me any difference how many times you can quote this Bible. I'm sure you can quote it better than I can. But the things I do know, I'm doing them. Do you hear me? That's the key to victory with God. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf more than my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you don't observe them. Opening the ears, but you don't hear. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. He will make it honorable. Now, you American church, I got a verse for you. It's the next one. You people still asking me, how can you stand up there with the nerve to tell us the things you do? You don't. I'm honestly trying to help us to do right. Really, that's really... I don't want to just pound people and hurt their feelings and offend them. And that's not the object. The object is for us to lay aside the American way and pick up the cross. Amen. It depends on who you're judging yourself by as to how holy you are. Did you know that? Did you know that? I look around me and I see people, boy, and I say, golly, that person says he's saved, but boy, look what we're doing. My Lord, compared to what we're doing, he ain't doing nothing. What's wrong with him? He needs to get saved, repent, or something. But then that Holy Ghost will speak. I say, what'd you say? He said, I want you to look at the cross. Compared to what Jesus did, what you doing? Excuse me, sir. Sure is getting hot in here, I'll say. Listen to this verse. This is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. This is sad, but this is the way our churches are. I apologize to you, but you'll tell me that this is not the way it is. But I'm telling you to look around you at what's going on inside your church. That's what's happening. What's in verse 22? It's happening. Did you hear me? It's happening. But we got to change it. Do you understand? Instead of keep pounding and getting mad at one another and fighting and make ourselves littler and smaller and dividing and keeping on dividing and keeping on dividing, we have got to recognize, we have got to hear, we have got to see what the problem is, and we have got to correct it. Division is what makes us weak. Reconciliation is what makes us strong. Restoration is what makes us strong. Forgiving is what makes us strong as we have been forgiven. But you don't understand. Don't tell me what I don't understand. Let's talk it out before we see who understands what, honey. In front of my ministry stands right now opportunity to destroy several other ministries. I've got the goods on them, honey. They come after us with their politics and with their religion and with their machinery and with their power, but they forgot to recognize one little small detail, the anointing of the Most High God. It is true, I don't have machinery and I don't have politics. I don't have a great name. But I have a great God. So it's now my court. The ball is over here. Do I kill them? Do I prove to the world that I'm right? Or do I extend a hand that could kill and say, hey, let's repent. Let's walk together. Let's walk this thing out. Let's help each other. Let's be strong through the forgiveness of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's my option. Or I could fall in the next category. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey. And none delivereth. Do you realize? I know I have been across this nation backwards and forwards. I tell you, sometimes I can't tell whether I'm going or coming. I've been east and west so many times, I have to literally sit for a couple of seconds and think which way I'm going. But do you know what? In all every church I've been in, there's none exempted right now. There is a great falling away. There is great division taking place. There's great hurt happening. There's great destruction of the devil taking place because we're too prideful, America, to say, "Help me, please!" We think to say, "I need help," it makes us weak. It absolutely strengthens us to say to each other, "I need you." Yahoo! I don't like it when the devil comes to me and tells me I'm fixing to spoil you, boy. That irritates me pretty good. I look him cold in the face and tell him, "Bring it on, hammerhead." People don't like it when I talk like that. Boy, don't say that kind of stuff to the devil or about the devil. Shut your mouth. "Bring it on, hammerhead." I don't like him. He's my enemy. And he is the one I have the right to take out. There are no options with him. I take sin out. Do you hear? But when a brother is in trouble, my Bible says in Proverbs, if I have it beside me to help my neighbor and don't do it, I am the one at fault. That's what my Bible says. I've got to go there laying down all of my problems, laying down all of my difficulties. Sometimes there's people calling out to me for help and they're screaming louder than I am, but their problems are a lot smaller than mine. I gotta go lay my big problems down and go fix their little bitty thing, and then all of a sudden they can see that mine's big and they come help me fix mine. Or vice versa, depending on the situation. Do you know why I believe that there is a problem? Isaiah prophesied about it back yonder when he was around. The last word in that verse, 22. There's not anybody that'll stand up and say, "Restore!" Well, I'm going to stand here in front of you tonight. Strip me like you want to. Cut me any way you'd like. But I'm not spoiled, honey. You hear me? There's plenty of demons out there chewing on us. And there's plenty of works being destroyed in our work. They're coming. They're taking us apart one way. But they're not going to spoil us. They may take down this bulwark, and they may overrun a position over here, and they may cross, and they may slam down some gates, but they'll never take us out. They won't take us out. Have you been feeling robbed lately? Brother Hogan, I've been feeling pretty robbed lately. Good. At least I got you telling the truth. Have you been feeling spoiled? You know what's right. You confess, you pray, you seek God, you talk to people, but it just seems like the more you do, the worse things are getting. I tell you, this is the word of the Lord tonight. You can take it or leave it, of course. That's your option as an American. See, my Indians don't have that option because I'm the only one out there preaching Jesus to them. If they run off from me, they go back to the devil, so they don't do that. Y'all can go wherever you want to. You don't like something, all of a sudden you just move somewhere else and get you a ear-tickling something to go. I'm standing here in your pulpit tonight and telling you God's ready to restore. It's our option. Do we want to receive it? It's our option. Are we going to continue to be adamant and mean and ruthless with one another, cutting and... Look here, let's go to Luke. Luke. I should stick around over there in Isaiah. Well, let's go to Luke 21. I forgot to look what time it was when I started. Oh, my goodness. Oh, are y'all in for it now? Boy, I don't know why I've been up here for several months, and I should by now know that you people look at y'all's watch all the time. I don't know what the deal is. I might ought to get a clock and hang it around my neck so I know to look at the thing. Luke chapter 21. And I'd like to, going to ask you a couple of questions here, just, you know, answer it yes or no, okay? Verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Is that taking place right now? Have y'all looked around you at the news and different things and what's going on up there in the heavens? There's all kinds of strange phenomena taking place. And there's damage being done by us humans that cannot be repaired. There are phenomena taking place. Look at this. Upon the earth, distress of nations. Is that taking place? Is there perplexity around anywhere? The sea and the waves roaring. Did y'all hear what happened on the East Coast that last week? Where'd it come from? I don't know, but it just came a 15-foot wave and wiped out I don't know how many houses. What's wrong with the sea just raising up doing something like that? Because it's the times we're living in. Verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Do you realize that we spend more time nitpicking and brawling with one another to even pay attention to what's going on around us? The devils are more at attention than we are. It says right in my Bible. It says that men's hearts are failing them for fear. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up. Lift your heads. Redemption's close. Can you truthfully say in your heart that if these things get closer and closer like they're doing, all these earthquakes and volcanoes and explosions that are taking place, these tidal waves and these phenomena, these rivers drying up, and then one year and the next year they're over flooding with water. What's going on? Everything's out of control. It's totally under the control of the Holy Ghost. There's a great falling away that's going to take place. I'm not telling you that I think this is the great falling away. I'm telling you it's a great opportunity for it to be, though. When all of these things are taking place, how is it that the church is sitting down and has their ears covered and their eyes covered? What's wrong? Because we're too spoiled, that's why. You're too used to having it your way. It's got to be God's way. Reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I am so glad that God did not hold me accountable for the things that I've done. When I wake up in the morning, like I did this morning real early, and I sit over in that chair, I'm just sitting there. Nobody's awake. My wife and kids are still asleep. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just sitting there thinking, God, wow, I'm forgiven. I am blessed. I'm overtaken with the inheritances of the saints of God. I have warring spirits of God that minister for me against the devil. And I can loose them, legions of God. Today's a new day. March forth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Trampling out the hosts of hell in my way. Eradicating them. Completely. Thank you, God, that you know I'm a human. And you know I'm fallible. But you let me walk with you anyhow. Thank you. Thank you for the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for the opportunity to tell one more person that you're alive and you're real. Thank you for the opportunity to help one other person come back to Calvary. To be restored. To be reconciled to Christ Jesus. To be forgiven for stubbornness and hardness of heart. Thank you, Lord. One of our villages, there's a man. The village name is Amecatipa. A couple of years ago, there was a man, he was an assistant warlock. You just probably find that amusing that I'd say that term. It's actually an apprentice. He's learning the ways of the warlock so he can be a powerful black magic witch. He went to one of our, what we call film campaign. We just show these movies on these projectors about the life of Christ. We have the book of Luke that's been acted out by something called the Genesis Project. And it's in Spanish, and boy, they've done a great job. And you go out there and you show reel after reel, and people come to Jesus. Well, this apprentice, he just saw that thing being acted out and just walked up and got born again. He was reconciled from a burning eternity in hell to Jesus. He rocked on there about a year and a half or so, and 2 years, and because of his zeal to want power and to want, he really was after power. He was similar, not exactly the same, but similar to Simon in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8. The reason he followed Philip around was not to be saved, was to get the power. And this witch was a guy, he got reconciled, he got born again, his family came in, everybody came in. He had a son that was an infant when he came in there and got born again, and next thing you know, after a few years, he's a real good servant. He had been taught by the demons how to serve, and he got born again, he just kept on serving. But then he had a problem with a pastor in the church. Y'all have never had that. He had a problem with one of our pastors. There was a few pastors in his church, and it's a very large church, and all of a sudden, he just quit serving, folded his arms, kept coming to church. Brother, that's out of order. I don't like that. We're going to change this doctrine. We're going to change that doctrine. We're going to change this. We're going to do that. Just kept standing there looking at him. Bitterness got in his heart. Madness got in his heart. A demonic attitude of division, rebellion got in his heart. till finally he couldn't stand it no more. He got up in the service one night, and he was a powerful man in our church. He rebuked the pastor, he rebuked the elders, he rebuked me, and left. Because I won't listen to rebellion. Period. And so, some of the church people left. There was a rift. Wasn't long, he's over there doing his own service. Totally out of control. He was not submitted to anyone. He said, I'm free in Jesus. I don't need any rules. That's a devil. We all need guidelines. We all need authority. All of us. Because we're humans. Without authority, we think we're God. We're not God. Wasn't long. Plague came through. You can't see it. You never know when it's there. Where'd it come from? Don't know. It just moves. All the people in the village that were against the gospel, their chickens, their pigs, were dying. It would get to a Christian's house. It came to his house. Slaughtered everything. The people that were following him, fear gripped them. What's going on? The plague went to their house. Wiped them out. But instead of repentance, anger grew more fierce. The plague came back. This time it got his one cow and only burrow. To you, a burrow is nothing. It's bound for $160 here in this country. What do you need them for? But let me go out there and set a bomb on your car, and you got a better understanding of what I'm talking about. Then you can appreciate him better. Instead of submitting, he got madder. Is there such a word? Or is it more mad? Somebody want to tell me what's right? He got hostile. Think I ain't got some adjectives. You wrong. I've been said I'm a very colorful person. I'm not sure what that means, though. I don't know if that's good or bad. Plague comes back by the third time. This time, it grabs his last baby. They begin to go to fasting and prayer in that body. They begin to read the Bible over this baby. Several of them would sit around this baby and hours upon hours read the Bible. That's a religious demon. Won't do any good to read it. That ain't mixed with humility and submission. If it ain't mixed with commitment and faithfulness, if it ain't mixed with obedience and Holy Ghost, it ain't going to work. So I don't have to be mad at this man. I have to be humble. I pity this man. I feel sorry for him. Because if he would allow that Holy Ghost to melt that heart, he could not only have his baby back, but he could have his burrow back. He could have his pigs back. He could have his cow back. He could have all his chickens back. But instead of submission, he got more volatile against us and against what we were preaching. And we were not preaching against him. We were preaching against rebellion. There's a difference. And so the man, his baby hadn't died, and finally, the seventh day, the baby dies. He's sitting holding this baby, crying now, beating on his chest. What a fool. What a fool. He takes that baby. He had prayed all night for that baby. It didn't come back. He brought that baby to the pastor. He said, "Isn't Brother Hogan coming today?" Pastor said, "Yeah." This is pretty nice. I like Jesus. I really like Jesus. Do you know I have the option when I get there to look at that man? I know him to be a complete rebellious, divisive, destructive force. I know him. Been knowing him for years. Now I have the right, by the authority of the Holy Ghost, to throw him out of that church. I also have the right, by the authority of the Holy Ghost, to pick that baby up like it was my own. Yes! And say, "God, thank you for mercy." And then you lay that baby down on a bench. You turn on that daddy and you say, "He'll not come back if you don't repent." You decide by your rebellious heart if that baby lives or dies. You repent and you come back to the cross. You can have him back. But if you decide to get mad at me more, he'll never breathe again. Your choice. As your faith is, so be it to you. Brother Hogan, you don't have that right. You don't tell me what right I've got. God tells me what my rights are. Your heart dictates your rights. The Holy Ghost dictates mine. I want that baby back. Don't you understand? Do you understand? I want him to come back. That baby's not at fault here. It's an absolute hellish war between God and the devil. And I have to have the Holy Ghost and enough of mercy in my heart to recognize that fact. To prove me right has done nothing for the kingdom of God. To prove God right in this situation has totally edified the kingdom of God. Are y'all getting the difference? That man come over to me, grabbed my hand, starts crying and weeping, "Forgive me, Brother Hogan." I said, "Let me go. You go up to that altar, which ain't nothing but a little old 8-inch piece of dirt that we cut out of the hill and stuff, you know. A couple of rocks laid down, that's all it is. Something we made, called it an altar. Go down there at that altar. You bow your knee to Jesus. Get His forgiveness. Because you buy us, baby. You don't owe me nothing but love. You owe Jesus your heart. That man went down there. We went down with him, and he prayed, and he wept. And we were so caught up into what we was doing that that baby's laying back there on the bench, and we just absolutely forgot about it. This reconciliation of the Holy Ghost and this man was so good to us. We had been so tormented by this guy. We had been so ripped off and hurt and destroyed and stomped and kicked and gouged and punched by this character. And here he is crying a puddle and making mud. This is great. And then we get interrupted from this great moment of time by some little brat coming up there punching on us. Who is this brat messing with us? Can't you see, kid, that we're getting this guy reconciled to God? And then all of a sudden it grabs you. It always grabs me the same. That was the kid. He ain't dead no more. Now you're moving out of his way because you're backing up, see? Whenever that daddy turned around, you got to know how this feels. And that daddy's eyes caught that little baby's eye. And he grabbed that baby up. And he started shouting and screaming, "Thank you, God. Tasca mate ikunito teko. Tasca mate ikunito teko." Thank you, living Son of God. God, that's something. That's great. I think that's the business I'm supposed to be in. Mark chapter 3. What am I doing in chapter 5? Y'all about had enough? Oh, shuckins. Mark chapter 3, please. Verse 9. He, Jesus, spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. Y'all ever been in a throng because of the power of God? I have. People will trample you. Man, we had a campaign several years ago where there was a couple of blind, I think it was four or five blinded eyes were opened, and lots of people were saved. We had about approximately 4,000 or 5,000 people, and you pray. You say, "Amen." And they know it's time to come up and get prayer. I'm telling you, they come and press you so tight, you can't even turn around. You're just stuck. If you raise your hands, you can't put them down. I'm telling you, it was like this. My arms got so tired of being held up, I was having to lay them on people's heads to rest them. I like it because I'm honest. I do. You're trying to get to somebody and you can't move. Just a sea of people. That's what a thronging is. Verse 10. Here's the reason he got thronged. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed, crowded upon him just to touch him. Many had plagues, diseases, unclean spirits. When they saw him. Now, are y'all watching what I'm saying? Are y'all watching what I'm reading? Does y'all Bible say that? How can an unclean spirit
these people were demon possessed. As soon as they see Jesus, they fall on the ground and they start worshiping Him as the Son of God. I'll tell you, demons have more sense than humans. Brother Hogan, you're going off the end here. Better stop that thought before you get it going. I think we'll go with it a little bit. In the Bible, when Jesus was in the vicinity of a demon, they came, fell at His feet, confessed Him to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can't even do that. What's wrong with us? Where's our minds? Where's our thoughts, our thinking? Unclean spirits, when they saw Him, fell down before Him and cried, "Thou art the Son of God." So He straightly charged them that He should not make Him known. Now, it got to do with this restoration thing and this reconciliation thing. And boy, look, I was in a village once, and I have been amazed a lot in my lifetime because of the powers that be. Y'all ever heard that statement before? The powers that be. The devil has the power, the Holy Ghost has the power. The powers that be. They brought that kid in there. I have never seen anything like it in my life. I have been amazed a lot. They brought that kid in there. I might have told y'all this. If I have, bear with me. I'm going to tell you again because I want to. I'm still amazed at this. That kid come walking in there, had the biggest cow horn sticking out his head you ever saw. And I backed up. My God, what? I thought that was a kid. It's a cow. But it looks like a kid, but it's got a cow horn. And I'm walking around that thing looking at it. I said, "Who is this? Where'd you get this thing?" They said to me, "This is our son, Brother Hogan." And I knew those people who were in our church were saved. Bye, theology. It's been nice knowing you. And I walked over there and grabbed that cow horn and started jicking that kid all over that place. I thought it was a fake, a hoax, a lie. I'm pulling him all over the house. That thing was real. A bullhorn out the side of that kid's head. I tell you, that's impressive. In that particular village, when they slaughter a cow, they take the horns and sit on a high pole, and everybody that walks by, salute it or worship it. The witch doctors, they have the power to turn people into animals, and so they would turn them into a cow. I had another opportunity to be impressed. We prayed for that kid in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we had the opportunity to watch the power that be. The Holy Ghost. The I Am. That horn, zip, went away. The powers of the Holy Ghost, the reconciliation powers of God Almighty, have so much strength and so much power. And we're sitting here playing games and spoiled and robbed and living in prison. And we'll confess all day till we're blue in the face, and it ain't so. It is so. We're divided, and it's a critical time for us in America. Repent. Restore. Reconcile. Verse 13, He, Jesus, goeth up to a mountain. I got some news for you. When that Holy Ghost, that blessed Lord Jesus, starts talking, He calls to Him whom He would. Lots of times we think, "Come here, Jesus." It's, "Come here, David."
My Bible says he called unto him whom he would. Such people as he wanted around him. Whoever he liked. And the great thing is, when Jesus gave the call, these are people that believed him. These are people that trusted and loved him. And when he called, they responded and obeyed and came. I'm calling out to you. Jesus is calling us to his side. Don't stand off over there and ponder too long. You're going to end up with a horn sticking out your head. You're going to end up with worms in your kids' ears. Are you listening to me? It may not be the worm witchcraft that I got to see and all of this stuff, but it'll be the worm of this world, the canker worm that's job is to eat and destroy the house of the living God. Jesus is calling us to himself. The people he wanted came. There he ordained the ones that came. What is your ordination for, church? To sit around and stay fat and have a glutton of teaching on you? That's a question I have for you. Not so. You have been ordained. Ready? First of all, the principal goal in life of ordination is to be with him. The first thing that you have on your agenda is to spend time with Jesus. In prayer, and worship, and honor, in warfare, and tactical maneuvers against the demon. The second thing you have on your agenda of ordination after you've been called forth, after you've been restored, after you've been reconciled, is so he can send you forth. He didn't call you to sit up here in Warsaw and say, we got it. He called you to go to every community, every household, every neighborhood in this country, this state, and in other states, and around the world to talk to them the ministry of reconciliation and restoration. You've been ordained after you've been called and after you've gone, after you've been restored and reconciled. You've been ordained that you could be with Jesus. That's the greatest thing I can ever do in my life. It's in the mornings when I can't sleep, which I can't hardly ever sleep, I get up and I walk over in that chair and I sit down. Here I am again. I'm going to bug you some more, Holy Ghost. Because I've been called, I've been ordained to spend time with you. I realize my flaws. I realize my shortcomings. Thank you for picking up the slack and making up the difference. And then you just look at him right in the face. I ain't never seen Jesus, but you look him right in the face anyhow, because I know he's there. Because that's what I've been ordained to do, is commune with the Lord Jesus. And I look him in the face and I go, Kashatili, Salakatamakatili. And I stand up and I can't help myself. Ain't nobody looking. I'm not impressing nobody. I'm dancing with my Jesus. Shakatana Sitihi. I've been ordained to dance with Jesus. I've been ordained to spend time with him. I've been ordained to love him. I've been ordained and sent forth to preach for him. And I may not be the best in your opinion. I don't give a flip about your opinion. I care that I've been ordained. I care that I've been ordained to spend time with Jesus. That's what I care about. I care about today we driving down to Gotham. I just can't help myself. It just comes out. Thank you, Jesus. Shaka talabai. It don't matter if I'm losing it to golf game. Honey, I ain't losing it to it's the communion game, son.
We're about through. Y'all just about had enough of this probably. He ordained 12, and here's the ordination, that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. And then there's verse 15, more part of the ordination of the Lord Jesus. It's for the purpose to have power to heal sicknesses. And in another part of my ordination is to have the ability to cast out devils. And I'm going to say something here that's going to make some of you mad at me. Go ahead and blow up like a toad. I got to say it. When you have been reconciled to the Master, when you have been restored to communion with Jesus, when you recognize your ordination, it's not some piece of paper some man can give me, honey. Mine's done by the grace and mercy of the cross. When you recognize what your ordination is and what your ministry is of reconciliation, and when you have the courage and the nerve to stand up and say, it's time to restore. I'm tired of being spoiled and robbed. I'm tired of living in a prison house. When you have the courage to do that, then that ministry of reconciliation, that ordination of the Holy Ghost begins to flow through you. The first thing that happens is a new, fresh desire to spend time with Jesus. And then all of a sudden you catch yourself preaching everywhere you go. Then all of a sudden you catch yourself laying hands on the sick wherever you go, and they're getting healed. And next thing you know, you done bumped into a demon, and it ain't you he's afraid of. It's that communion with Jesus he's afraid of. It's that anointing he's afraid of. That's what the devil's afraid of. Yes! Yes. Last verse. I'm going to read it, and we're going to stand up, and y'all can put your Bible in fancy cases. And we can go to the house. Of course, I can't go to the house till next month, but y'all can. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching the Word of God. This is straight. This is real. This has not to do with knowing problems and figuring out things and trying to have a political move and getting people thumbing them and trying to manipulate them. This has to do with the Word of God I'm talking to you about tonight. And it's quick. It's alive, I tell you. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can divide and do things you and I are afraid to touch. But you swing it just right. And honey, it don't ever quit doing its job. When you have spent time and your ordination is done and you know it is, the Word becomes alive in your heart. It comes out of your mouth with quickening powers. And when it penetrates a friend or a fellow or an enemy, it makes changes. That's what it's supposed to do. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrows, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Whether you want to admit to me your thoughts and your intents, whether you want to tell me the truth, you don't have to. But the Word of God already knows it. My Bible says you're deceiving your own self. We've got to be a doer of our Word now. Not a hearer only, deceiving our own self. I'm telling you, I believe with my heart that for us tonight, last night we talked about walking with God. With all of my heart, I know that's the truth. We've got to, as we're initiating this walk with God, I look at every day like it's the first day of the rest of my life. How about that? I'm pretty sad about what happened yesterday, but today's a new day.
I have a chance. I have an opportunity to make it right and better. I can let the Word of God do its job in my life. Would y'all stand up with me and let's pray together? Pray, church. Pray, church. Word of God, do your work. Mighty, powerful Holy Ghost, do your job. God, we are so amazed, impressed, blessed with your wonder and grace. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We appreciate you, God. Reconcile us to you, Jesus. Restore us to you, Jesus. Shale kataha resehi. Mighty Holy Ghost. First thing I want to ask, if there's anyone here that does not have Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, I would like to invite you to come up here and let us pray with you so you can be reconciled to Jesus. So you can be forgiven. So you can be delivered. So you can have your sins remitted. You can have the sins against you blotted out of the book of life. You can have your name printed in the book of life. If there's anyone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, Savior and King, I'd like to invite you to come up here. If there's anyone here, and I know this to be true, you've been playing games in your heart. You have been deceiving folk. You are backslid. I'd like for you to come up here and be restored to fellowship with Jesus. If there's anybody in that condition, please have the boldness to come to Jesus. Stand right there, man. Anybody else? He ain't by himself. There's some of you people in here that are supposedly supposed to be somebody with God, and you know in your heart you've let it slide, honey. Get up here. It's restoration time, baby. It's time to let the Master do His wonderful job of love, forgiveness, mercy, grace. Come to Jesus. Whole backslider, come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Mighty Spirit of God, ravish this place of devils. Shata ne se no kun taha se. Aren't you tired of the game playing? Jesus is. He loves you for real. He loves you for real. It's for keeps with Jesus. Would you please come to Jesus? Please come to Jesus. Pia rasone kata sasha tala katehi. Anybody else? This is very important. The church must be cleansed of lying. Would you please come down here if you need Jesus? Would you please come down here if you're tired of playing the game and want to be freed of the burden of a backslidden heart? Come to Jesus. Come in Jesus' name. Shenaka saraha taleke shetehe. Shelokuna sanehe. Conviction of the Holy Ghost. drive us to the altar. Shenikasehe. Tarandosu kete se kashaha. He na su tenehe. Silimarasu kushandelehistaha. Kinara, kinara, sekoto soshe.
Now, I'm going to ask something that's a little bit unusual now. But you ought to think that's probably par for the course for me. Is that golf language already, buddy? Par for the course. I'm going to ask you to do something. And it's going to take the Holy Ghost to do. I'm going to ask you to go to people that have offended you, hurt you in some way, and tell them you forgive them. It's time to restore each other, saints.
Hallelujah.
It's time to reconcile, church. The Holy Ghost wants that. I'm going to ask this man right here to play something pretty on that guitar, sing something pretty, whatever he does for a living. And I'd like for you to just move out. Now, I don't want anybody paying attention. It ain't none of your business. I'd like for you to just move out in this congregation, go to each other, cry and weep with each other, forgive each other. Let that mighty Holy Ghost repentance flow through this place. Because I want us to do something after that. I want us to come to the altar with sickness. Because we're going to see some healings. But you won't see nothing if you're going to play games. Go ahead, hermano. Brother Britt, Jody, Brother Jerry, Sean, would y'all come down here? I'd like for y'all to minister to these people. Move out, church.
Soften my heart, Lord.